As we remain standing, let us pray. This prayer is from John Wesley. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to do what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to enduring. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. Please be seated. I just want to make a little bit of a comment on the psalm, particularly that last line about bashing babies against the rocks. The psalms are full of human emotions. You can't get away from that. They just are so earthy. And in 587 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, and they were sent into exile. And part of that psalm was, as they were marching, you know, their captors are saying, okay, sing us a song. We really, really loved your songs. You know, play your harp. And they're saying, no, we have lost our home. We have lost our temple. We have lost our priests. We've lost everything that is a culture we know. And we're not singing for you. And you know what? Just take your babies and bash them against the rocks. I mean, I can see that anger coming out. So, and that's why I'm so glad we have Jesus, because you wouldn't want to stay there. That was what I wanted to say. And Lamentations, I think, is probably around the same period, talking about going into exile. Nobel Peace Prize winner, and I think she's a saint now, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, was once asked by a reporter, Mother, is it true that you and your sisters hope to end world hunger? Apparently, after chuckling, she replied, we ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean. But if that drop were not there, the ocean would be less because of the missing drop. If one of us is missing, if one of us stumbles, if one of us is in pain or trouble, the whole lot is affected. You and I, small light bearers, tiny important parts of God's kingdom, and little drops of faith. You and I, we're like spiritual Duracell batteries. You know, we keep going. And in today's reading from Luke's gospel, Jesus is teaching, part of the teaching is on the power of a small pound of faith, the size of a mustard seed. Now, I was doing some cooking the other day, and I had to put some celery seeds in. Boy, are they ever small. And it doesn't take much for that to change the taste. It was actually coleslaw. It's a great recipe. I'll give it to you. It doesn't take much to change the taste, I noticed, because I didn't measure it. The third time I made this coleslaw, I'm going to measure it next time. The power of a small amount of faith, the size of a mustard seed, and the huge importance, and here we go again, of forgiveness. In the previous chapters, Jesus had been speaking in the presence of his enemies, those religious teachers who wanted to accuse him of blasphemy, not following the law, not being a good Jew, or anything that would justify shutting them up once and for all. And then the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The reason they were asking was because of what Jesus had just spoken about in verse 4. If another believer sins, rebuke that person then, if there is a repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. They had just been told to forgive 7 times in one day, and like us, they struggled with forgiving 7 times in one lifetime, let alone in one day. And this is not to be taken literally. In the Jewish understanding, the number 7 is considered a perfect number, unlimited. Jesus was trying to make the point that we are called to forgive others an unlimited number of times. Okay, here we go. Who has trouble with forgiving? 10 of us. Great. You know, it is sad, but those of us, you know, when we say we're Christians, we can be extremely sensitive and mean to other members of the body. Is that true? Yeah, we've seen it. I'm not telling you anything we don't know. And it's not specifically here. It's just what we do. I read the other day that Christianity is the only army that shoots its wounded. Anyhow. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, "We all agree that forgiveness is a beautiful idea until we have to practice it." Everyone here can give an example of being hurt. I've been hurt very deeply in the church. I've been hurt by other clergy. If you can't think of one, that's a good thing, because it shows that you've probably done a great job at forgiving people. As I'm doing my walks, my latest thing, when I mention people, and at the end I mention the people that have made my heart hard, and what I'm saying now is, I am forgiving because I have been forgiven. And I keep on saying that, kind of like a CD, an MP3 player in my brain. I am forgiving because I have been forgiven. Many of us are thinking right now of the people and the occasions when we have been wounded. We think we can get around forgiveness with a proviso that says, "I will forgive that person, but I will never forget it." Come on. Forgiveness is not a feeling or an emotion. It is a choice. It's making the decision and then asking for God's grace to not continually punish that person in our minds. It's hard. The biblical word for forgiveness comes from the Greek word "epiphemi," E-P-H-E-M-I, I may have pronounced that wrong, which literally means to let go, to shake loose ill feelings towards someone, to cancel the debt, to set one free, forever free from the obligation. Loaded. If we actively choose to remember every slight, to ruminate on every incident, then we will not truly forgive. To forget is passive, but choosing not to remember is an active task. And then Jesus pushes us even further. Even if a person does not repent, it is not our problem. Not our problem. Forgive them anyway. And then we have done our part. For in the end, we are accountable only to God. And God will take care of the other. What is the word? "Revenge is mine," saith the Lord. In God's kingdom, he forgives and does not keep bringing up our faults and sins. That's the main work of the great tempter, making us constantly aware of our shortcomings and the sins that we have committed and others have committed against us. And that is why Satan is called the accuser of the brothers. The apostles asked the Lord, "Increase our faith." And he replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the seed, planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." We don't need more faith. We need to use the small amount we have within us. I don't need more faith. I got faith the size of a mustard seed, or a celery seed in this case. And it's smaller than the head of a pin. Jesus is saying it doesn't take much, but even the smallest can do the impossible. Thank you, Sue. Jesus is saying our faith has nothing to do with quantity, but it has everything to do with quality. Some of us are sitting here right now thinking of ways you can work on increasing your faith. Increasing our faith is not something we do. It is something that God does. So isn't that a relief? We can give up that one. What we can do is ask for God's grace to choose that which develops a deeper awareness of faith. And there are spiritual disciplines, because it takes discipline to do this, and we don't like discipline. I was talking to these ladies up here, you know, I have to walk four times a week. Well, there's sometimes I don't want to do it, but I put on my clothes one leg at a time, put on my coat, and I walk out the door. Now, for the first 6 months, it was difficult. I didn't want to do it. It was only by God's grace I was able to do it. So there are spiritual disciplines we can begin, daily prayer, little area prayer. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Just sit down for 5 minutes every morning and say, thank God you gave me another day. Make me a blessing to someone today. Just say that. Participating in a Bible study. You can start your own Bible study. I'm going to do one in the fall. We have an Advent study coming up. Faith is not a philosophy or a mind-bending concept. You don't bend spoons with faith. You may, but anyhow. Or logic or reasoning. It is a gift from God. And one of the ways we can release faith is by doing something that God asks of you. May I, Shirley? So, Helena, we're going to try and get her into, you know, speaking English better, right? So Taras made a couple of inquiries, and anyhow, he and I talked, and I said, hey, wait a minute, Shirley does English as a second language, and I remembered that, right? So I said to Taras, I'll get back to you. Ring, 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 Shirley. Oh, I don't feel very well. Poor Shirley was in bed. She wasn't feeling very well. I said, oh, Shirley, you're such a God. Anyhow, we talked about, and Shirley said, of course she would do it. And it was like this godsend, you know, there's faith. And so Shirley and Helen, they're going to get together, and it's going to be wonderful. But there's just an example of something. Why did I tell you that story? It doesn't matter. Oh, it's by doing something that God asks of us. That's what it is. In which case, me, and I'm not God. So faith grows through challenges. How are you going to learn to be faithful if you're not in a situation that requires faith? And faith grows through challenges when a crisis hits and you don't wring your hands or start imagining the worst case scenario. Come on now. I was thinking the other day, my stomach was upset. You know, my first thought was, oh my God, maybe it's cancer. Where does that come from? But instead, you thank God for his abundance, his promises that he will never leave us or abandon us, that God is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower, but simply ask that it's God wants you to learn something in the crisis. And this is my latest thing. When something happens to me, I always say, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn from this? It's all about learning. Being a disciple is what? Learner, being a learner. It is in the valleys of our lives, in those scary times, that we need to draw even closer to the Lord and let our faith and trust in God increase. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. 11:1. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. If you find yourself saying, I'll believe it when I see it, that's not faith. Faith is always says, when I believe, I will see it. Faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ, Romans 10:17. So you study the word, hearing, reading, and then reflecting. And that increases and strengthens faith. See, the word is not about information. Scripture is not about information. It's about transformation. If you just want information, read Power River Living. If you just say, I have faith, but do not act on your faith, then what? Your faith is dead. James 2:17. Okay, in other words, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, can't grow. When do you know you're growing in faith? A couple of things. We begin to have a better understanding of the things of God. We will question and doubt God less in our struggles and hardships. We find that we're not emotionally invested in an outcome, so we're not threatened if something doesn't go our way. We are concerned about the greatest good, not about our own individual likes and desires. This is a big one for me. We have a thirst for peace. And when our peace is disturbed, we ask for God's grace to remove any barrier that is interfering with that peace. And we begin to exhibit on the outside the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we ask, Lord, to put his hand, his blessings on those we struggle with, and to not hold their debts against them. Don't hold the debts against those I struggle with. I don't want that. What we forgive in earth, right, will be forgiven in heaven. And know that our egos wonderfully provide the hurdles we need to overcome in order to attain wisdom. In the words of a great century preacher, Charles Spurgeon — anyone ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? — faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the window that hope has opened. Faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the windows that hope has opened. Let us pray. God of truth, save us from a religion of mere words, from repeating pious phrases which have lost their meaning, from uttering empty prayers which have no soul, from calling Jesus Lord, Lord, when we fail to own his sovereignty. We pray that the gospel may come into our lives, not in the word only, but also in the power of the Spirit. And that our love may not be a matter of words or talk, but be genuine and show itself in action. Help us, Lord, to mean this our prayer, as we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.